All right. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? It's always good to see visitors. It really, really is. I appreciate y'all being here. If you know me, I usually start off with a few jokes. And they're usually not good because I'm not a joke teller. But it helps. All right. These are all dad jokes. All right. Y'all ready for one? Don't laugh yet. All right, it says, what do y'all call a one-legged hippo? A hoppo. All right, next one. Yeah, who can drink 20 liters of gas and not get sick? A jerry can. All right, let's get a little better. All right, next one. What do cows tell each other at bedtime? Dairy tells, also they hate horror stories because they are cowards. All right. One more. Well, now I'll get two more. What do you call a sad cup of coffee? Depresso. I kind of like that one. That was kind of good one. All right. What did the police officer say to his belly button? You're under a vest. All right, my last one. This is the pinnacle of dad jokes. When does a joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. All right, those are my jokes. All right, if you will go ahead and turn to Acts 25. We're going to start in verse 23. Amen. Acts 25:23. Well, today we're talking about, I initially started to talk about decisions. The decision I thought about was Paul and his decisions. You can call decisions, we can talk about Paul's life, one of his imprisonments. You can call it whatever you want. This is just what the Lord led me to talk about. So if you go to Acts 25:23, and I'll start there. All right, let's do 22 for me. All right. It said, then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city at Festus's command, Paul was brought forth. And Bernice is just Festus's sister. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitudes of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. When I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him. Of what I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. So at this point, he has been accused of basically preaching the gospel, basically preaching what? That Jesus is the Messiah, okay? And they have found no fault in him yet, okay, or at all. Chapter 26, verse 1. Says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself. You don't usually get to speak in front of a king. So when someone allows you to, wow, you take advantage of it. And the Lord used this for his good, okay? So 26:2, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Especially because I knew thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life for my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, I know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning. If they would testify that after the most straight sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. So before Paul became Paul, he was Saul. And Saul, he was a Pharisee. All right? Remember that. Remember that he's a Pharisee. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you. Just thank you for the day you've allowed us to have, Lord. Thank you for our visitors, Lord. And Lord, we just pray we can be a blessing to them, Lord. Pray that you just use this message for your honor and your glory, Lord. Again, just love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a Zondervan's pictorial dictionary, and it says, I have it marked, what a Pharisee is, because I won't remember that. So I'm going to read two paragraphs, a little bit long, but I'm going to read what the Pharisee says. What it is the name Pharisee, which is in Semitic for means of separate ones, separatist, first appears during the reign of John Hyrcanus. I've got a 12th grade education, that's all I got. So generally the term is in the plural rather than in the singular. They were also known as Chalcedim, meaning loved of God or loyal to God. They were found everywhere in Palestine, not only in Jerusalem, and even more distinguishing themselves with the garb, so as easily recognized. According to Josephus, their number at their zenith of popularity was more than 6,000. So this is where they're starting to grow who they are, what they are, as a Pharisee. Now, if you know anything about Pharisees, they didn't believe what Paul believes. And this is where their doctrine of Pharisees is. It said the doctrine of Pharisees included predestination, or as some have termed it, a teaching of a special divine providence. They also laid much stress on the immorality of the soul and had a fundamental belief in spirit life, teaching which usually caused much controversy when they met the Sadducees, who just as emphatically denied them. So Sadducees and Pharisees did not believe the same thing. They were enemies, basically. But when Christ came, they became friends for the purpose of getting to execute him. Okay? So being people of the law, they believed in final reward for good works, and that the souls of the wicked were detained forever under the earth, while those of the virtuous rose again and even migrated into other bodies. They accepted the Old Testament scriptures and fostered the usual Jewish messianic hope, which gave a material and nationalistic twist. Told you, trope grade education. All right, so you kind of get a taste of who they are and what they do. You know that Sadducees and Pharisees do not get along, correct? All righty. So in these verses, so who was Festus? Festus was the man that brought Paul to King Agrippa. He found that there was no fault in him, so without letting them go, he pleased the Jews to keep him in prison. So Festus, to get Festus, try to give him another chance, I guess, if you want to say that, because Festus just think Paul was a good man. But Festus, once Festus took Paul to King Agrippa, King Agrippa gave him time to speak and speak out loud. So this is part of what I'm going to read next, or what I've read, but I'm going to go to verse 26 if you go with me. This is what Paul said to King Agrippa. Think about what he said and how he was used in this instance. All right, 26:6. And now I stand and aim judge for the hope of the promise made of God unto other fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope ask, which hopes at sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? And verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many other saints did I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them, often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness on the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when they were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. Paul did a lot of bad things. If you don't know, or I should say, Saul did a lot of bad things before it came Paul. All right. So Here, if we go back 26:8 or 6 and 8, he said, he explained why he was in prison, for having hope of the promise made of God unto his fathers, that the Messiah was coming. Now, the Pharisees did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. All right, that's one thing he was being accused of, and he told King Agrippa. But Jesus had come, and that was why he was in prison, that the Jews, his own people, had accused him of blasphemy, such that God should raise the dead. So they didn't believe what he was doing was God's work. They believed in totally different something else. Verse 9 through 11, Paul did things in contrary to what Jesus did, his lack of faith that Jesus was the Messiah. Verse 10, he didn't allow the prison saints to talk about their faith. Kind of like it is here in America right now. You go into business. Many other groups can speak out loud. You can talk about LGBT. You can talk about other Christians or other religions. They can talk about anything they want. When you get a Christian, you cannot do it. It's just the way it is, you know, and it's not going to get any better. So be ready to fight. I hope you're raising your kids to be ready for this because it's coming. It is coming, and I hope you're ready. You got to really think deep in your heart and soul and what the Lord is going to tell you to do, and you need to really pay attention that it's coming a day when your faith is going to be tested to we have no idea. All right? All right, I'm a soapbox. He used his given authority to put Christians to death. So they had given him authority to literally kill people. That's a lot of authority. This is Paul's lineage. If you go back to who Paul was, Paul's dad was a Pharisee. He was, at around 13 years old, Paul was studying to become a Pharisee. He knew what the Old Testament said. He knew that. He knew all about the Bible, the Old Testament. He was used for the bad. Am I right? That's what I would say. I mean, you might have your own opinion, but I think Paul was used for the bad. But many things that we don't understand until the time comes, it was eventually used for the good. Let's keep going. In verse 11, he punished Christians in the synagogue. People that went to church and went to go honor God were punished, kind of like it could happen here. Many churches have been shot at when they go to church. And I should say many. There have been churches that have had, you know, people walking, getting in front of them, not trying to let them go to church. Shootings at churches. This is the things that Paul did. So think about that, okay? In verse 11, he said he punished Christians in the synagogue. The Bible said he was exceedingly mad against them. He had a hatred for Christians. Do we see that now?
Oh, yeah. Right. Never stops.
I mean, just think about that. You are trying to do good. You're trying to be the right type of person for someone, because someone's going to need you. You know, I was thinking the other day about my military career, just kind of thinking of things, something while we were talking. I was thinking about Brother Watson can only reach, probably can only reach other Vietnam vets. He's got that capability because he was there. Am I correct? As a veteran myself, I probably could not reach that guy or gal. He can. There's just that something that happens between Vietnam veterans that they. I work at the VA, and I see their veteran. This group that hangs out there's as you walk in into the hospital, as I walk in, I should say, then there's a little group that sit right there at these chairs, and then just talk. You know, they just talk. You know, sometimes it's not good stuff, but they talk. Okay. And the thing about it is there's blacks, Hispanics, Indians, whites, all sit there in a group just talking. There's a bond with them, right? He's probably the only one that can reach any of those Vietnam vets. Am I right? How about you chicken ladies? You could probably only get in touch with chicken ladies. You could probably be the only ones that get a handle on chicken ladies. Am I right? You probably have folks in your group that you can reach. There's probably a chicken lady Facebook page. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. So what about you sports or your sports guys could be? That's kind of my, yeah. Yeah. There's some guys I could talk to that I could reach that talk about sports. How about car guys? One of my dream trucks is a 69 Chevy short wide body. That's my dream truck. I mean, I got a nice truck. I shouldn't complain. Hope I'm not sound like I'm complaining, but that is the truck I'd like to have. Lowered a little bit, loud, you know. That's kind of what I'd like to have, but that's probably about a $70,000 truck. And this old man ain't got $70,000. So the offering plate, y'all can put as much money as say for Jerry's truck. I'll let y'all. I'll ask Pastor afterwards. Ask for forgiveness. But there's only so many you can reach. Paul was used in this instance to be able to reach folks, right? He was used as a Pharisee because he could probably reach other Pharisees. Am I right? That's just the way it is. We have to have a connection. That's why when we bring people in, we ask questions on who they are, where they've been, how you doing, where you live, kind of thing, so we can figure out who could reach them the best. To me, soul winning is important. Soul winning, telling others about Christ. I know I've said this before, but that's how I got saved. That's how I came to Christ, was soul winning, telling others about Christ. That's important. And Paul has a lineage of the bad. But it didn't have to stay there. Like many of you, I came from a lineage of, my dad drank a lot, occasionally had domestic violence, and my dad had a sixth grade education. My mom didn't start school till I think she was 9, if I remember right. She graduated high school at 20. I didn't have a lot of direction, if you want to say. Paul had a lot of direction. It was just in the wrong direction, right? We all have a direction. We just have to decide which way we're going. When I decided to join the Army at 17 years old, I knew one thing. I didn't want to stay in that small town and do nothing. That's it. I mean, that's it. I didn't have any other reason. It wasn't loyalty at the time. It wasn't patriotism. I just wanted to do something different. Paul was doing something different, but for the wrong cause. We're all doing something. Is it for the right cause? I'm just going to ask him. We have to make those decisions on whether to do what the Lord wants us to do or what we want to do. And they're usually going like this. Yeah. You have to make that decision. It's all about you, because God's given us that free will, hasn't he, to make those decisions. And we just have to make them. They're out there in front of you. You just have to be looking for it and asking God, what do you want me to do? I believe I have what God wants me to do now. After getting saved, being in the military, doing the things I've been allowed to do, I think I know what God wants me to do. Finally, I'm at 54 years old. I am old, I know. I feel 70. I look 90, but you know, it's just a point where you have to say, there it is, go get it. And you still may be here, and you may go this way a little bit, you may go that way a little bit, but at the end of the day, the point is to get here. And if you don't know, well, let's go here where I read a 14 and 15, 26. It says that when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tune, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to pick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest me. Jesus spoke to Paul, which was Saul at the time. This is the point where Saul made a decision. He made that hard decision to go against the family that he knew, the religion that he knew, and he's going forward for Christ. That's a hard decision. I don't care what you say. It is a hard decision. Raise a Catholic man, becoming a Baptist, it is not easy. You get shunned a little bit because of it. I'm just being honest with you. And anybody else that's gone from one religion to another, they might shun you a little bit. It's not a good feeling. But I will tell you, every day is worth it. I've got kids serving the Lord. That's worth it. Okay? That's worth it. So, Paul made that decision to get saved, serve the Lord, and move forward. And he did that. He went that way. We usually go back that way because that's where our past is. If I kept going back to me being Catholic, me being a father of a drunk, and he was a social drunk. He wasn't like in the streets. It doesn't change the fact that he drank way too much. And that was my legacy. And that's where I started. I started with not wanting to drink until one day. You got cousins? You got the wrong cousins? I had a wrong cousin. 16 years old, I finally broke, and I did. It didn't take me long to get where I was at, where I shouldn't have been. Even so, once I joined the military, I had already been drinking. Going forward in that lifestyle, I was still back there with my dad. Okay, my dad's not a bad guy, and I don't mean to bash him. I hope I don't sound like I'm trying to bash him. He was there every day. He worked hard every day. He was at every sporting event I went. He was a good man. He just had, not even bad intentions. He just didn't know. He didn't know Christ. He just didn't know Christ. And he's still not saved today. So I ask you to pray for him, him and my mom, okay? But let me make sure. Okay. But he was there. That's what I didn't want to go back to. I had no desire for that. I didn't know what I was looking for when I was out there looking. I wasn't necessarily, honestly, looking. It just kind of, one day you realize, and like, oh, why am I doing this? Makes no sense. And one night I said, you know what, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I need something. And one day had been working on my heart. And I finally got to that point. And the decision was made by Lord to finally send a man to my door. And I got saved. It's just, it's hard to get away from. But that day changed my life, changed my heritage. Think about Paul and his heritage. I have a granddaughter that is in church today because of the decision I made. You have kids here today because of decisions you made. Paul had to make that decision that was probably difficult because he was ingrained in being a Pharisee. That's not something you leave. That's something you almost, like a gang, you have to fight out of. That's how deep it gets ingrained. So he had to get there, okay? Apologize. Okay, so if... That's why I always start with jokes. I always start with jokes. It just makes it easy for me. Okay, so God, this is something else. When Jesus spoke to Paul in verse 15, Jesus wasn't, how do I say this? I didn't realize that Jesus was talking when I first read this. The assumption was just God speaking, okay? I did not realize that, and it just kind of, it hit another level for me. I was like, Jesus is talking to Paul. You know, the Messiah was talking to Paul. And that hit another level for me. And he said, in verse 16, he said, "But rise and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering them from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Paul is being used. He went through all of those things to be used for them. Go back to 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul was used to tell others about Christ. That is probably, if you're a saved man or woman, that is your sole purpose, is to tell others about Christ.
That's right. Amen.
That is why you're on this earth. You didn't get saved just to be kept out of hell. Yes, that is a byproduct of what you're supposed to be doing. That is just the byproduct. You are here to tell us about Christ. Give a tract. Say, hey, let me invite you to church. Go out visiting. If you don't, when you visit folks, they know you care. We went to visit Mr. Overstreet yesterday, and how was his reaction when we showed up?
Happy.
If you saw it in his face, he's like, praise the Lord. And he didn't say that, but in his heart, you could just see it. He said, someone visited me. Yeah. The only person he said he was more excited than seeing it was us was his granddaughter. I know that feeling. You know? So he was excited that someone went to go visit him. You have no idea the impact you have on people. Paul had a dad that impacted him for the bad. Paul made a decision to impact others for the good.
Amen.
You and me have that same power, if you're saved, to be able to impact others for Christ. You don't have to do anything specific.
Amen.
It could be Brother Watson talking to another Vietnam vet. Hey, you know what? God loves you. Me talking to a OIF veteran. Hey, God loves you. Whatever field you're in, it doesn't matter what you're in, trucking business, VA, as I work for, if you were a machinist, I know some of the machinists over here, whatever you are, you can affect someone. Retirement, if you're retired, if you decide to visit your family members, you have an impact on your own family members. And those are probably the hardest. You know how hard it is to tell my dad you're wrong? As a son, to tell your dad you're wrong, what you believe is wrong, not necessarily what you believe, but what the Bible says.
Yeah.
You know how it is when your mom is probably, if she could, she'd probably go back to be a nun. Is this how Catholic she is? You know how hard that is to tell them that what you believe is not right? That doesn't change the fact that that's what you're supposed to do. It doesn't change that fact that that's what you're supposed to do. Paul needed that. It says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient of the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So that's what Paul was being accused of telling others about Christ. And that's why I said at the very beginning, prepare your kids.
Amen.
Prepare your kids. It's coming, okay? Having therefore obtained help of God, and this is the good part about it, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for themselves, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And there's where Festus turned on Paul. Someone that initially had favor in Paul, but we said something more about Christ, he shunned him. Be prepared for that one too. The more you talk about Christ, the more others are going to push you away.
Right.
That's just reality. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish it was. I'll be honest. When I first got saved, I thought, oh, everybody's going to love me. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be that. I thought the world was going to be great. And I got slapped in the face pretty quick. I told a few coworkers, they looked at me like, there's a few cuss words. Bleep, 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 out of here. I'm like, whoa, I guess I'm not loved. You know, That's reality. You have to make that decision. We have to make that decision. I have to make that decision. And at the end of the day, is it worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the people you bring with you, it's cause, like I said, it's not about you. He's telling what he's supposed to do. It's about others. That song, Others, Others Out on the Raging Sea. Don't ask me to sing. I don't sing well. That's a good, that's just what it's about. It's about others. I go soul winning. I don't apologize for it. I go soul winning, and I want folks to go with us. I want as many people to go. The more go telling others about Christ, the more we can win. The more this church grows, the more folks are coming with us. Not to church only, but when we go to heaven, they're with us in heaven. That's what it's about. It's not about us. It's not about your accomplishment. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you got. If your degree, it doesn't matter what profession you're in. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter anything except for how many people you take with you to heaven. Amen. That's important. I'm not trying to get on you, but what I want to say is if you're not going soul winning, do something. You can pass a track out. You need everybody. You can call someone on the phone that you know. Hey, I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go with me? I'll take you out to lunch afterwards. Hey, what are you doing Wednesday night? Are you busy? No. Okay, let me invite you to church. We'll go have some ice cream afterwards. You have to invest in folks. Paul made that decision years ago. He made it here, but for his future, the lineage he left was 10 times different than what he started out. And there's where it's at. Not where you start, but where you finish. Yeah. It is not where you start, because we all start at the same place, headed to hell, unless you're saved. There's where you start. If you're not saved, you're headed in the wrong direction. When you get saved, you're headed in the right direction. You probably should look up, because that's where we're headed. No matter what happens, no matter if we get in prison like Paul, get stoned like Paul, get crucified upside down. It doesn't matter what happens. At the end of the day, we're still going to heaven. And that's what it's all about, bringing as many folks with us. That's what it's all about. So God used this purpose for Paul, as Paul was a Pharisee and then a Christian. Paul was a Jew and a Roman citizen. He had the insights to be able to talk to the Romans. He was a Roman citizen, but he's a Jew, if I remember right. But he knew how to talk to the Jews. He knew how to talk to Paul or to the Romans. He knew he was exactly what it needed to be for anybody that was come across him. He knew how to speak to him. We have to be almost like chameleons. You know, we do. Because my background as a Hispanic helps me talk to other Hispanics. It's just the way it is. Some might not talk to a white man or a black man because he's Hispanic. I hate to say it, but that's just the way it is. I mean, that's reality, you know. Someone might not talk to me because I was an Afghan veteran. They might not talk to someone else. It's just the way it is. But you got to be prepared for each and every situation that comes along. But you can't do that if you're not speaking to the Lord, the Holy Spirit's not using you, if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to use you, because you don't listen. If you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, he's not going to tell you to go talk to that individual. And if he does and you don't listen, that's on you. That's a soul lost on your account. That's the same as a soul gained on your account when you tell someone about Christ. It goes both ways, okay? So God always knows who is doing what. As much as we hate to think about it, we think about Jeremy. He's in a bad situation. And then God is using it for good. Amen. I mean, you know, if you don't know, I mean, you can ask later, we'll tell you. But I'll just give you the quick brief. Jeremy is in prison, but saved man out of this church, and now he's being used for Christ in prison. I'll leave it there. He's in a bad position, but God is using it for the good. We don't understand it yet. And I have to admit, I was a little mad that it happened. But God knows better than I ever will. I just have to accept it and trust the Lord for that decision. So what about you, folks? Your lineage, how did your lineage going to start? It started back here unsaved. Are you saved? Do you know 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Without a shadow of a doubt. That's the first decision you have to make. There's many other decisions after that. But if you don't make that decision like Paul did, that in chapter or verse 15, basically, you're not in the right spot. You need to start there, okay? Where are you, folks? Are you truly saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Do you know if you die today, you're going to heaven? That's important. That's the biggest decision you'll ever make. It's not what job you have. It's not where you go to school. It's not how much money you make. The decision to have eternal life with Jesus Christ, trust in Him and Him only, where to spend your eternal soul, eternal life, is the most important thing you'll ever do. Where you at, folks? Let's get that settled today. If you don't know that, we need to find that out today. Secondly, if you know you're saved and you know you're going to heaven, where are you at in your Christian life? Are you telling us about Christ? Do you know that you know that you're telling us about Christ? If you have any doubt, the Lord's Holy Spirit saying, I don't know, you're probably not. That little small hesitation in answering, you know that you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do. And I'll be honest with you, I can see a lot of folks up here, and we all have the same faces many times. I'm no different than y'all. I'm just up here. That's it. You're looking at me and thinking, man, that's a sinner. And yes, I am a sinner, but saved by grace. And I have the same issues as y'all. None of us are any different. But I made a decision to be saved, and we have to make a decision to make that choice to tell others about Christ. And like I said, I'm not trying to be mad at you, but if you think you can't do it, you can do something. And I've said this story. I had a man that was Brother McBride, hero. He's a hero. I keep thinking he's 93 years old. I'm not sure. 93 years old. When he could, he was to go out knocking doors with us. 93 years old. I mean, I'd have to walk slowly with him. Just take my time. You make sure you ask him all the time, hey, you need a break? And he'd like, no, bro, I'm good. He's just a really quiet man. But a good man. He knew what. He couldn't see his Bible. He literally had magnifying glass to try to see his Bible. But at the end, he couldn't see it at the end. And he read it so often and so much that he didn't need to read the Bible. He knew it. He could quote it. That's a man of God right there. He was just a simple man. He didn't do anything special. He was just a man of God. You don't have to be someone special, think you're someone special. You just have to be willing to be used of God. Paul was somebody special. In his Pharisee life, he was someone special. But God used that life for the good. He used those same Old Testament teachings to be able to fight against them themselves. Tell them what was wrong with them and use that for good. Amen. We all have something, and we just have to figure out what that is. What is it for you? Salvation? Telling us about Christ? Serving the Lord? Join a church. I don't know what it is about y'all. Just whatever that is, there's something that the Lord's speaking to you right now. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, God. We thank you. Lord, just thank you for the day that you've given us. Lord, just thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for giving it to us. I just pray that you use it for your honor and your glory, Lord. Still pray, Lord, if someone's not saved today, Lord, they'll get saved. Pray that if someone hasn't made that decision, Lord, I pray that you just work in their hearts, please, Lord. We love you, God, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.